Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 70.
Yay, 70. Milestone.
Yay,
we made it to episode 70. Do you think we're going to make it to 100?
Sure, why not?
We've got like over 6 months to go before we get there.
It's true.
I think we can do it.
We'll have to see.
We've made it to 70. I think we can make it 30 more.
Yeah, we just have to wait the exact time from 50th episode to now.
Yeah, if we make it to 100, that'll mean we've been doing this podcast for almost 2 years.
You know how sitcoms add like a new character so they can get more people to watch? Because we should adopt someone so they can get more people to listen to our podcast.
Maybe a cousin Oliver.
A cousin Oliver. You have a cousin Oliver. I wonder if he'd like to be on the podcast.
Maybe.
That would be funny.
I always thought that would be cool to have like one of our cousins guest star on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Especially if they're tiny and cute and will draw in new viewers, not viewers, listeners.
I've been meaning to have some cousins on the podcast at some point. Maybe we can.
Yeah, maybe you should actually make this podcast not free so we can make tons of money.
We should just create clones so we'll always agree with each other.
Yeah.
So we can make it. I think the plan, our business plan can be, it costs $1 million to download. So we only have to sell it to one person.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't a lot of people who would pay $1 million, but we only need one person to listen.
Now,
we can be millionaires.
We should say something really controversial so that we can get a ton of listeners.
And then we can do clickbait ads. You won't believe what this family podcast just said.
This podcast costs $1 million, and you won't believe what happened next.
Or, OMG, so much money, more money costs than the iPhone X. I said it weirdly because it was supposed to be poor grammar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So before we get too much into the podcast, there's a bunch of stuff that's happened since the last time we podcast, even though I know it was just one episode ago. But did want to get some business out of the way. So this month, the month of October, is a two pods a day promotion. We were featured on Two Pods a Day on October 10th. So thank you to everyone who tweeted us and retweeted the tweets about us. I really appreciate it. If you're listening to us because of the Two Pods a Day promotion, let us know. I know we got one really nice comment on our website, and I think it was probably someone who found us on Two Pods a Day. We got a comment from someone named Issa, who said, "New listener here, I love you guys already. Us dads need more stuff like this when winding down after a day doing dad stuff. You guys sound like a great family." So thank you, Issa.
That's because we are a great family.
We love Issa. That's great.
In case you're wondering, has his own podcast called Young Free and Coupled Podcast. So you might want to check out that podcast. I've been meaning to. I haven't yet. So the last time we podcast, it was like I recorded it kind of in advance because I was going to be traveling. This podcast, we're kind of doing it at the last minute. Friday the 13th in October, which makes me think this may be a little bit of an evil day. I was a little nervous, actually, about flying on an airplane on Friday the 13th. I just got back from a business trip.
But again.
I saw a news story. We're not going to read it in the news, but I saw a news story that the flight number 666 on October the 13th flew to Helsinki, Finland. And the airport code for Helsinki, Helsinki, Finland is HEL. So it's flight 666 HEL.
Were there no direct flights to Hell, Michigan?
On Friday the 13th, landed safely.
I'm glad for them.
I remember
that make you a little nervous if you found out that your flight was flight 666.
I remember
on Friday the
13th to Helsinki.
I remember when 66
Finland.
I remember when 667 was my lucky number, and then it just 666 was my lucky number.
So if it was a business trip, you know, your boss might have told you to go to Helsinki, England. Why is
Finland?
England? I keep saying England. Helsinki is in Finland.
You guys, he totally knows where Helsinki is. He knows it's not in England.
My mouth doesn't work.
That's like I was playing a game on Scratch and I realized that it said 667 assets loading. I don't know if Scratch is trying to warn me about something or...
Or is that just your lucky number?
Maybe so it's just a random number. So it is Friday the
13th. This podcast will post tonight, hopefully, and we can get it recorded and edited and get it all done. It's a little late. So I have been traveling. Since the last time I recorded a podcast, I have been on two trips. I don't actually travel that much with my job, but for some reason I had two trips back to back the last 2 weeks. So I left 2 weeks ago and went to Guatemala. I think I talked about this trip that was coming up. Went to Guatemala in Central America. And then this week I went to Connecticut. I flew into New York and then got a rental car and drove to Connecticut and then drove after my business was over, drove back to New York. Did get one night in New York. Got to see a friend of mine who just happened to be in New York. Got to eat at a restaurant that I really love in New York. And then flew back this morning from New York. Let me tell you a little bit about Guatemala. Guatemala was a fascinating country. Do you guys know anything about Guatemala?
I know a bit, like the political unrest right now and how they actually celebrate some Mayan holidays.
Yeah, so the people in Central America, including especially Guatemala, are Mayan. So they're part Mayan, part Spanish.
I haven't done social studies first, so this isn't new to me.
Yeah, so Mayan are like the indigenous people in Central America. But they kind of mixed with the Spanish people who came and settled the country. It's not a very big country. It's a pretty small country. And most of it is mountains. They have like 46 volcanoes in Guatemala. There's a whole bunch of volcanoes. So they have a lot of volcanoes, and a lot of them are active. So one of the volcanoes, I saw an active volcano while I was there with like ash coming up out of it. And they have earthquakes. They had a really big earthquake. I think it was in late 1970s, 78 or 79, that was very, like a lot of people died in. And they told me that they tend to have earthquakes about every 30 or 40 years. They're due for another big earthquake in Guatemala. The climate is really nice. So Guatemala City was one of the cities I visited, and it is really high altitude. And it's like 70 degrees every day, all year round.
Wait, if earthquakes tend to happen every 30 or 40 years, then that kind of makes you be there at the perfect time for an earthquake to happen.
I thought about that.
I love how at first you didn't go there for political unrest, and you ended up going there while both a volcano was erupting and a hurricane flew like right over you.
The hurricane did not hit Guatemala. There was a hurricane in the Gulf, but it didn't come in toward Guatemala.
Hurricane Nate.
You know what I didn't know about Guatemala that I was kind of surprised about? I realized it was a small country. I didn't realize how densely populated it is.
Yeah, it's the most populated country in Central America. I think not including Mexico, which some people consider part of North America. But it's, there were big, like Guatemala City is a pretty big city. It's got 3 million people in it. And there are other cities that are also pretty big. So I was surprised at how populated it was, too. And it's very green. And because the temperature stays pretty nice all year round, there are flowers that bloom all year round. They kind of have a rainy season and a dry season, but it's very green everywhere. The weather's really good. Guatemala City. So I went to Guatemala City, and then I got a chance to go just on my own as sort of like a mini vacation for half a day to a city called Antigua. And Antigua is a fascinating place. It's like where it used to be the capital of the country when it was a Spanish colony. And then they had a really bad earthquake in like 1775, I think it was, 1770s. And the whole city was destroyed and it was pretty much abandoned. So now they've got like all these ruins of like these old Spanish buildings. And some of them have been rebuilt. And there's this really cool town, and it's just a really interesting historical place. And it's really pretty. It's kind of surrounded by volcanoes. It's a really interesting place to go visit. A lot of people go there on vacation. So Antigua and Guatemala City are both kind of high up in the mountains, and they have a really good weather and good temperatures. But Guatemala City is a little bit scary. Like, it's probably the most unsafe place I've ever been because there's a lot of drug crimes. And, like, it's funny because when I was at the airport, I got on the little airport shuttle with a guy who said he comes there, like, 3 or 4 times a year on business. And he said, yeah, it's really dangerous here. You probably should never leave the hotel. And, you know, there's good restaurants in the hotel. Just stay in the hotel. And I got there that night and I was like, I don't really like the restaurants in the hotel. I kind of want to go to the restaurant that's around the corner. So I walked to the restaurant around the corner because right around the hotel, it wasn't too bad. And as long as you're just like walking right to the restaurant. But one thing I noticed when I was there on business and the people in our Guatemala office kind of drove me around. So I was always driving with someone who knew the city. But I noticed some things like you would see like a store and there would be like a guy with a shotgun outside the store, making sure no one robbed it. Or like a bank, there would be like a guy holding a shotgun.
Well, that's scary, but also you see now. But it also reassures you that you're safe.
But we're in Texas. We see guys with shotguns all the time.
Not like that, though. Texan you don't joke. See someone like guarding the store with a shotgun.
No, this is different. Texan joke. And bars over the windows, and
like you like one of the people in the office took me to lunch, and the restaurant she took me to was like a really nice restaurant. It was a bakery, and then they had like soups and salads and sandwiches. But when like you pulled into the parking lot of the restaurant, there were like armed guards letting you in and out of the parking lot. So it was really kind of weird and a little bit scary. And then we drove around the country a little bit, and there were parts of the country that were really poor. Like you saw places where there were just like tin shacks that are built. And my coworker down in Guatemala said that anytime there's like open area that's not claimed, people will just build a house on it and kind of take it over. And it can
like
be
out of whatever
scary.
Materials they have.
Just any found material or whatever, they'll just build. So that was interesting. Like, you don't really see that kind of poverty that much in our country. But it was a very beautiful country, and it was very... the people were all really nice, and the food was really good. So that was good. I like food a lot, as you probably know. And that was the thing that got me... So I don't really like restaurants that are in hotels because they tend to be overpriced and not... I don't know. It seems like not that good to me, but I really wanted to go to like the local restaurant. It was like a block away. And I was very careful. I was like watching, making sure that, you know, I was safe. I think the area of the city I was in was actually relatively safe.
Was it?
But I also saw like there were like stores where they had bars in front of the stores, which you see here sometimes, but this is like when the store was open, there were still bars in front of the store. So people would come up to the store and like put their money through the bars, and the people in the stores would like pass the merchandise through the bars, like it would be barred while the store was open. Kind of interesting.
That is different. So when you went out for dinner, was it like after dark or was it?
No, it was just lunch. We went to lunch.
It was just lunch.
Oh, like when I went on my own,
uh-huh.
It was at night, but it was close by. Like it was like a 2-minute walk from my hotel.
We're kind of lucky to be in like a safe area.
Yeah. And you saw other people walking around, so it wasn't like, you
right.
know, I don't know. But Antigua, when I went to Antigua is very safe and there are a lot more police there. And I think they keep it safe because it's a tourist destination. But I'd love to take the family to Antigua sometime. It's just a fascinating place and really, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
I recommend it. And then not too much really to say about my trip to New York. It was kind of fun. I hadn't been to the city of New York in a while. And like the last night there, I got to walk around the city a little bit and see a friend of mine who happened to be in New York for like a legal conference, who's from North Carolina, but happened to be in New York that night. That was fun.
Wait one second. I thought that you were going to Connecticut.
I did. So I flew Connecticut and New York are right next to each other, right? So I flew into a New York airport and then got a rental car, drove to the middle of Connecticut, to Hartford, Connecticut, because it was easier to do that than to fly. If I flew to Hartford, I'd have to get a connecting flight.
You know, New York isn't the safest place either.
Oh, it's not bad.
Actually, New York City, it used to be not safe. Like maybe 20 or 30 years ago, it used to be kind of unsafe. Right now, it's very safe.
Oh.
Like New York City is one of the safest cities in the world.
Oh, wow.
When we went, what's it been now, like 8 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it was for our 15-year anniversary. We just went to New York and had a little vacation, just the two of us for a few days. It was great. We walked all over Manhattan. I didn't feel unsafe. And we were walking around at night, like through Little Italy and Chinatown. And it just... it was well lit and there were a lot of people out just, you know, enjoying themselves. It was fun.
And it's a good city to walk around too.
Wait, what's it was well
lit and it was also lit.
It was lit.
It was pretty lit.
I walked down Broadway right through Times Square. And Times Square is extremely lit because they got these huge billboards like everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it
like
is.
Light up billboards.
It's bright.
And neon and just big signs everywhere.
Wait,
so what happened while I was gone? You guys had something at the school today.
Oh, yeah, the color bottle.
Oh, yeah. Wait, yes. I have something to ask. What's Little Italy?
Little Italy is an area in New York City where there are a lot of Italians live there and a lot of Italian restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Their motto...
And there's a really good pizza place there called Lombardo's.
Lombardi's?
Ooh. Lombardi's, yeah.
Or is it Grimaldi's?
I think Grimaldi's is in Brooklyn.
Okay.
I think Lombardi's is in...
But Grimaldi's is in Texas.
But it's like a really old pizza place.
Yeah, so the one that's in Texas is like a Texas location, but the original one is in Brooklyn, right across the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah.
But the color bottles...
It's a good place to get cannoli.
But
yeah,
the
so
color,
back to the color battle. Tell me about the color battle, what it is.
Yeah, their slogan is basically, we're better than the color run, because they kept on saying that.
Well, they wanted to get the kids excited to participate and pay money. It was a fundraiser for the PTA.
We saw the video of the broadcast making a promo for the color battle, and you see there's an ongoing joke about someone mistaking the color battle for the color run, because that broadcast is just super, so funny.
It was funny.
So I've done a color run before. Phoebe and I did one a few years ago. And basically a color run, for anyone who doesn't know, is you run like a certain distance, like a 5K. And every so often they have these stations. And they give you like a white t-shirt. So you wear a white t-shirt. And when you go through the station, they like throw colors at you. Like maybe there will be a blue station and a red station and a yellow station. So by the end, you have like this white shirt that's all covered in different colors. And the color they use is like, I think it's cornstarch.
Cornstarch colored.
With food coloring in it.
So you could eat it.
If you,
you don't want to.
Food, cornstarch doesn't taste very good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of bland. But so that's what a color run is. But I don't know. What's a color battle? Like, how does a color battle work?
First, you do like relay races with color because people throw color at you. Then you get your
like
color packets.
What kind of relay races?
It's one of those where basically, you know those where it's a relay race where you have to go over to a bat, pick it up, and spin around?
Oh, yeah,
and then
I know
crazy.
That one.
Yeah, well, it's like that, except before you run, you have to grab a jar of color with holes in the top, and then splash it to the person behind you, and then they grab it.
Oh.
It was really messy.
Yeah.
Really messy.
Big clouds of colored stuff all over the place.
Yeah, and so everywhere they would run to, either they were like passing jars of color, or there were PTA moms like pouring it on them, just kind of.
Yeah.
But then at the end, like after the relay races, they just all got in the center and it was just a big melee. It was just.
Yeah, everyone ran out of the color
free for all.
Everyone ran out of the color packets in like 30 seconds.
Then we got color packets, and then we got our color packets, and then basically we just sort of threw them at each other.
Yeah, we kind of ran. We had all ran out of them in like 30 seconds.
Well, there were still kids that had some though. The kids that sold a lot got more color packets, and there was a lot of color. It was a huge mess. It was out. Past the tennis courts on the track.
Okay, but you know what bothers me? There's also water cups and stuff, but everyone kept on throwing their empty color bags and foam cups on the ground on the football field that we were using.
It's true.
I'm glad that bothers you.
It should bother you.
They're also selling snow cones, which is at like every outside school event ever.
Yep.
It seems like it fits the theme, though. Like a
it
snow
does.
Cone.
It's colory.
Color,
it's messy. Yeah. It's colorful. They had color-changing cups.
Oh, yeah.
I have
one of those.
Yeah.
I'll
give you
it right now.
And in just a minute.
Oh, sorry.
But the thing about the snow cones, that I think maybe we sold a lot of snow cones. We had a snow cone truck come, thinking that might raise some extra money for the PTA. And it was a really hot day today. So I think those kids were getting lots of snow cones. I hope.
Yeah, so the other thing we need to talk about is...
Howdy, folks. This is Big Tex.
We went to the state fair last... What day did we go? It was on
Monday.
It was on Monday.
Monday, right? Boy, that seems like forever ago, and it's only Friday.
Wait, you know
what? Columbus Day off of school.
Last year, we actually did the podcast from the state fair. This time, we didn't bring the recording equipment, but we did some of the things we always do at the state fair. So one of the first things we usually do is we go, and we go to the Food and Fiber Pavilion, and there are samples there, but we get, like, chocolate milk or strawberry milk.
Strawberry milk.
And then we take it and we go get our Fletcher's corn dogs.
Yep.
And we eat our corn dog and drink our chocolate milk or strawberry milk.
Have that for lunch. So there's the last about, couple years, though.
Something about Fletcher corn dogs at the
so
state
good.
Fair that are better than any other corn dog you will ever have.
I don't know. Sonic has pretty good corn dogs.
This
but no,
time,
the state,
not the same.
State Fair ones
not
are so
same.
Much better.
This time, the deep fried stuff around the corn dog was so crispy.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's something about, like, they make them fresh, and they're still hot, and there's lots of that corn batter on them.
It's all crunchy.
And they're really big. I don't know. They're really bad for you, but they're really tasty.
Yes, they are. So there was something that I noticed this time and last time. But so when we go in the Food and Fiber Pavilion, normally we would go in and also see Elsie the cow.
Yeah, so
but she hasn't been there the past couple
the
of years,
couple
and they have to
years,
wonder what happened to her.
Every year we used to go visit Elsie the cow, who is the mascot for Borden Company. This really beautiful cow, like the most gorgeous cow you've ever seen. And then 2 years ago, we noticed she wasn't there. And the exhibit that they have in that exact same place now is like Texans love beef.
Yes.
Oh, Elsie the cow.
So draw your own conclusions about what happened to Elsie the cow.
Elsie the cow was delicious.
It worries me. They have steak samples where Elsie used to be, and this is not right.
Does that seem appropriate?
Elsie the cow was so delicious.
But
sorry, wait.
So what else did we do at the state fair that you guys enjoyed?
We saw Big Tex.
We had the what's it called?
Let's talk about the food in a minute. But anything else besides the food? We saw Big Tex, which you always see. Giant, however big. How big is? I used to know how big.
Really
he was.
Big.
45
maybe
foot
like
tall.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Cowboy, something like that. 46 foot
I know,
tall. Cowboy.
I know his head is like 6 feet tall because I've seen people next to it. I watched this documentary about rebuilding Big Tex
after
he burned
down.
By the way, fun fact, I saw from the documentary them rebuilding Big Tex so they used chocolate cake batter.
What?
That's how big Texas is.
That's
Texas. Already looked it up. Do you want to know?
Is it 55 feet tall?
He's 55 feet tall.
Yeah,
or 16
wasn't
meters.
That mentioned on the podcast?
We did. Last year we did.
I don't know.
But fun fact, they used cake batter to paint his skin. So Big Tex is completely edible.
Not
that's
completely
not
edible. But they
made that
cake.
Up.
That is
yeah,
fake
and
news.
Remember a few years ago when they set it on fire to grill it?
Also not true.
Okay, but they did set it on fire. A bit of cake batter, though.
No.
Yeah, they did. It was in the documentary. They used like this type of cake batter to paint the skin. It was in the documentary. Like they
like
interviewed
originally?
People.
Like in
yeah,
the original Big Tex?
Or no, like when they rebuilt him.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. So strange. Okay.
Also,
I wonder
when
why they would use cake batter. That seems really weird.
They put like the stuff Texas. In this giant Big Tex head or head mold, which I don't know where they got that. And they had to like all push on it to dig it out of the mold because it was like all like really stuck in there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So we saw Big Tex. What else did we see? A giant pig. I know we saw a giant.
Oh
pig.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
Poor pig.
That was me.
There was also a prize-winning giant pig.
Yes.
That was Henry. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, what?
There's
I'm
a giant
tiny.
Prize-winning pig.
We're not going to call each other pigs.
It was in a pen there. Had its own pen.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was a good-looking pig, but it was giant.
It was taking a pig nap, not a cat nap.
It was taking a pig nap.
Can you imagine how hot it must be to have that much fat on you and just like laying there in the sun all day, though?
Although there was a shade over it. There's a shade over it.
It was in the shade.
Phoebe and I rode the Texas Star, which is the giant Ferris wheel,
and me,
which I'd never done before. It was the first time I'd ever done that.
And me, Mom, and William, instead of that, just rode the
Skyway.
The Skyway.
Yeah, but the problem with that is it was kind of ruined because the entire time I was just worried about the fact that we were like held on by a wire, and it was a giant Skyway, and it was kind of wobbling too. So
yeah, they do wobble. They do wobble, but it's kind of cool because you can see everything.
If you don't think about it, it's not scary. But if you obsess too much about the fact that it's only one wire that's keeping you above the ground,
mm-hmm.
it's like. And I think I've told this on the podcast before. Most of the time, it doesn't bother me at all to fly. But there was one time that I like fell asleep against the window of the plane. And when I woke up, I was disoriented. And for some reason, all I could think about was the fact there was the only thing separating me from the ground 35,000 feet below was just a little bit of metal in the airplane.
Yeah.
And then just that thought, I couldn't get that thought out of my
head.
What if
you're right up next to the window, too? You think there's like an inch of glass between me and death.
Yeah. And I would just fall and fall and fall. And then
but the entire time I was on the lift, I was like, okay, so right here, if we died, then it would fall down on the tent and then it would slip down so we might survive.
We were formulating like survival plans.
We saw a butter sculpture.
Yes.
The butter sculpture this year was like, it was like a Mount Rushmore of Texas. The confusing thing was, though, there were four faces and they didn't tell you who the faces were.
Except for one, which was
an astronaut named Shannon Walker.
One of them had a raccoon hat, which was Davy Crockett.
Because it had her name on it, so we knew who that was.
The one was Davy Crockett.
Except we don't know for sure that it was. We knew it was someone with a coonskin cap, but the artist didn't tell. The only thing the artist said was these were ordinary Texans who did extraordinary things, but just kind of left it for people to speculate who they were. Mm-hmm. So it's a big mystery.
And apparently
it could be Davy Crockett, but it could be someone else.
Apparently there's kind of debate over whether Davy Crockett actually wore a raccoon hat.
Oh, yeah?
He might have. I mean, he probably...
At some point, maybe
could
did.
Have
I've heard shot that
I don't know. It is...
Before but it was 2,000 pounds of butter and a sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Before I noticed that it was Mount... Also, there's a dinosaur chasing a man at the bottom.
Yeah, there was a little dinosaur tiny one. In the front of the sculpture.
It's like also, a little hidden dinosaur.
Yeah, chasing a tiny person.
I feel like...
Anyways...
We also saw there was an animal show that was like these pets that have been trained to do funny things.
That was amazing.
Really cool. Oh, yeah.
I liked that.
It was like this old Wild West town set up on the stage with like a saloon and everything.
Dogs and cats and even like a pig and
birds.
Ducks. And
then there's a really funny part where
Phoebe was like crying. She was so moved.
There was even a porcupine.
I almost cried twice because they were such good dogs.
They were good dogs and cats and birds and porcupine.
Yeah. And I thought at the end they like had a positive message about how we should try to get like dogs that are in bad conditions adopted.
Yeah, all the dogs and I think all the cats in the show
and the birds
were rescued from shelters. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Also,
they were very well trained.
We should talk about the food.
Yes.
Wait, 1 second. There's actually just one part of the pet show where a dog kept on pulling a sign up and everyone was cheering him on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like lifting this sign that said, did it say no vacancy or something for the hotel?
Rooms available.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, so yes, let's talk about the food. So one of the things we try to make a point of doing when we're at the fair is to sample some of the foods that are like new and part of, they call it the Big Tex Choice Awards. And this year we tried three types of food.
First one we tried was
maybe Big Tex.
The funnel cake queso bacon burger.
Maybe.
Yeah, the funnel cake bacon queso burger or queso bacon burger. What is it? The funnel cake queso bacon burger.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of it?
I thought it was surprisingly good.
Yeah, I said it could be good when we got there, even though everyone was like, no, it can't be good. Besides Phoebe.
So the kids thought it was...
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Mom,
well, why are you
think?
Chuckling? It I doesn't it was, make any sense.
I thought it was disgusting.
See, I no, kept on...
Seriously. That is so gross.
We kept on trying to tell Phoebe that it'll be good, but
it was
she
just
no.
big...
Didn't listen.
Can I
no,
give my
me
opinion?
And Phoebe were the ones that thought it'd be good and everyone else
I know, I was joking.
That, right?
So, my opinion joking. Of it was it was disgusting. It was like a perfectly good burger, although it was kind of greasy even for a burger. It was just dripping with grease, basically, and like the powdered sugar wasn't really staying on it. It was just like kind of melting in the grease into the like the cheese sauce, which just was grease. It was just
it was super
disgusting,
messy
greasy mess.
Because, you know, funnel cakes are kind of, I'm going to say, porous. They've got holes all over them. And the queso, there's a whole bunch of queso, so it was just kind of dripping through the holes. I have a hard time saying whether I liked it or not. I mean, there were parts of it that were delicious, but it was kind of like you're eating your dinner and your dessert all at once, which was an odd sensation.
And like it was just in a, if it was in a big greasy pile on your plate.
I mean,
one thing about having a cheeseburger
and having a funnel cake, they're both delicious, but together it was a really strange sensation.
No, okay, having the queso dripping through the funnel cake was just awful.
One thing about it is everyone thought the fat smooth was the best and should have deserved number one, but only because, you know why I think it should deserve number one over the bacon queso burger? Because it's fried and on a stick.
Yeah, so let's talk about the fat smooth.
Oh, wait,
that was the third thing we tried. Back several episodes ago, when they first announced kind of the winners of the Big Tech's awards, and they had, initially they had like the semifinals list, and it was just the names of everything, and then they had the finals list, and it was names and descriptions. When I just knew the name Fat Smooth, I thought, well, that's going to be gross. That just sounds gross, Fat Smooth. But then when I knew what the description was, I thought, that's going to be delicious.
It was so good.
Everyone agreed that it was delicious.
Although it was extremely unhealthy.
Yeah, so basically
it wasn't gross at all.
Ice cream and custard mixed together but also fried
somehow. It was like ice cream and custard. Stuffed into a cream puff, and then it was batter fried with like caramel sauce and chocolate sauce over top of it.
I didn't notice caramel sauce.
It was really good.
I wonder if the state fair just has like some sort of mix of like, I don't know, like flour or something just to create that like fry layer.
It's different vendors that do it.
Each vendor that sells it, they come up with the recipe themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has their own. A lot of people kind of use the same sort of batter, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But each person person who enters a competition, they could develop their own recipe,
right?
And then they get the rights to sell it at the fair.
But it was really good. It was, if you like fried ice cream, it was kind of that idea. But it was better than, I've had fried ice cream like at Mexican restaurants or whatever. This was much, much better than anything I've tried. It was so good.
And then the other thing we tried, so we tried the fat smooth. We tried the funnel cake queso bacon burger. And then the other thing we tried was a fried Texas cheesecake or Texas sheet cake.
It kind of.
Which is like a chocolate cake.
So the fried Texas sheet cake. Have you ever had Texas sheet cake? It's kind of a big. You make it like in a cookie pan.
It's really good.
Really good, and it's got like a fudgy frosting. But this was like if you took a square of that and then deep fried it, so it was kind of crispy on the outside, and then it had like whipped cream and stuff on it.
It wasn't very fried.
The deep frying wasn't really obvious, but it was a little bit crispy on the outside. It just looked like Texas sheet cake.
It was kind of like if someone tried to make Texas sheet cake, but they didn't come from Texas.
Yeah, it was a little bit almost brownie-like.
Basically, the concept was take Texas sheet cake and make it something that you would serve at the fair.
I don't know, they succeeded.
I think it was good, but regular Texas sheet cake is better.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I liked it. I thought it was really good. It was really delicious. But yeah, that's the thing is it's already delicious before you fry it. So frying it doesn't really add much deliciousness to it. It was an interesting texture, and it was kind of like an interesting novelty to try it.
But
it didn't really look novel. It didn't really taste that novel either. It just kind of tasted a little more like a brownie than a sheet cake.
But if you're in Texas, and you haven't tried Texas sheet cake, you need to try it.
Yeah,
it was tasty.
It's good stuff.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Okay, so we've each got news stories. I want to start out with an important news story, because I think it's always important to know how the world might end. And one thing that people are talking about now is the Yellowstone supervolcano might erupt and kill us all.
Aww. People have been talking about that for a while, though.
Do you guys remember visiting Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Although,
seeing Old Faithful and all the geysers and all the pots of
I always want to say geezer instead of geyser.
I know it's a geyser, but I want to call it a geyser.
I do remember it's
an Old Faithful geezer.
Well, maybe because it's old and faithful, I think geyser.
Okay. What I was going to say was, even though people have been talking about it happening soon for a while, the less soon it is, the longer people have been talking about erupting soon, the more likely it's going to happen sooner.
Yeah, also, it has been like hundreds of
years.
Well,
that's what this story is about. So the story, this is from the National Geographic, and I've seen this around lots of different places. The story says, Yellowstone supervolcano may rumble to life faster than thought. So when they say soon, they're talking about like in geological terms. So soon might mean only a million years from now.
Oh.
Right?
Oh. Or,
but
it could be tomorrow.
Recent stories say it could happen in a span of mere decades. So it could within like 10 or 20 years, it could start to get to the conditions where it's going to erupt. The story says if the supervolcano underneath Yellowstone erupts again, we may have far less advanced warning time than we thought. A 2013 study, for instance, showed that the magma reservoir that feeds the supervolcano is about 2.5 times larger than previous estimates. So Yellowstone is like, they call it a caldera, and underneath Yellowstone there's this big storage, basically this big storage vat of magma, and when the volcano erupts, like it has a few times over history, like millions and millions of years ago, all that magma comes up to the surface and it erupts. Well, what they've found out is that that magma can fill a lot quicker than they assumed. They thought it would take a long time for it to fill up, but actually it can fill up pretty quickly. A author of the study said it's shocking how little time is required to take a volcanic system from being quiet to sitting there on the edge of an eruption. The article does point out that the Yellowstone volcano is one of the best monitored volcanoes in the world. So if changes were happening, we would know about it immediately. An expert says, we see interesting things all the time, but we haven't seen anything that would lead us to believe that the sort of magmatic event described in the researchers is happening. Somewhat preliminary, but quite tantalizing.
Okay, so we're moving to Canada.
Canada might not be far enough away because
okay, so
Yellowstone's not that far from Canada.
We're moving Brazil? To Australia.
We moved to Brazil. Oh, Australia. There you go. Good call.
People there are awesome.
And then the other
New Zealand.
So the way they did the research, the most recent research is they said based on fossil deposits, scientists think the supervolcano, when it last erupted about 2 million years ago, they can study the deposits, and they said those deposits built up over just a few decades. So it didn't take like thousands and or tens of thousands of years to build up like they thought it did. So it could be, if it really starts to go, it could happen really quickly before, you know, it could happen in the near future. They still say that the chance that it could happen like this year are about 1 in 730,000. But if it did happen, it would be a catastrophic event like an asteroid hitting the Earth.
Would it affect us here?
How? The Yellowstone supervolcano. Yeah, it would affect us here.
Holy cow.
Because it would change the whole climate. The whole climate would change because of the supervolcano. And it's not just
all
like a little volcano. It's like a huge volcano.
Wait.
It would affect basically all of North America.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay,
and probably globally too, because it would put so much ash up in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But definitely all of North America would be affected by it. So
we may actually
another thing
have
to think about when you're sitting in bed at night, another way the world could end is the Yellowstone supervolcano.
If you need just one more thing at the back of your mind, just, you know, causing you severe crippling anxiety.
It is already keeping me up at night.
And it's way more likely to happen on a Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so we may actually move to Australia.
Or New Zealand. The sheep there are nice.
Australia's further away?
I don't know. They're both pretty far away.
Wait, right. Would New Zealand be
Are New Zealand
affected?
Sheep nicer than Australian sheep?
Mom maybe really likes
move
New Zealand
to the exact
accents.
Other side of the world,
I do like
India.
I think New Zealand is probably a good destination.
There you go.
Although New Zealand has volcanoes too. They're also part of the Ring of Fire. Do you
Isn't
know about
Australia?
The Ring of Fire?
No.
So the Ring of Fire like goes all around the Pacific Ocean. It includes Guatemala. As
oh
far
yeah,
as
the Ring of Fire.
And New Zealand and Japan are all part of the Ring of Fire.
Oh yeah.
So there's three
that.
Places we can't go to escape volcanos.
There's
That's
volcanoes
too bad.
All
Those are places
around,
I like.
Rimming
yeah,
the
I forgot about that.
Pacific Ocean.
Maybe you could just move to Portugal.
That's like actually scary though.
Yeah.
Who's going to read their story next?
I'll read my story next.
Okay.
Henry?
And this story is really interesting. I find this really fascinating.
Oklahoma prison selling inmates cold case playing cards.
Selling what?
Cold case playing cards.
So they're like playing cards, like a deck of playing cards, and they have information about unsolved crimes on them. So you want to read the story? Like a cold case is an unsolved crime, right, William? Yeah. You ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma authorities are hoping to solve killings and other cold cases by selling playing cards that feature the cases to prisoners. The first in a planned series of decks is already on sale for $142 at six of the state's lockups, and a second deck is already being planned. We recognize that virtually every single case is unresolved. There's information that rests within at least one individual, if not more than one individual, he said. It's our belief that much of this information I speak of rests with the individuals who are incarcerated, said Stan Florence, the director of the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation.
It's redundant. But,
so the idea is they're selling playing cards to the inmates, and they said those are the only kind of cards they're going to sell. So if you want to play cards in prison, you got to buy these cards. And then each card in the deck has information about an unsolved crime, like someone who was killed. And the idea is that people in prison might know about some of these crimes and have information. And sometimes people in prison will give the police or investigators information about a crime they heard about. And it gives them more information where they can investigate a crime that's gone cold. I think it's a pretty good idea, interesting idea.
That is an interesting idea.
What do you think about, Will?
Cool.
I wonder how they make that into a playing card. Like, so is like a really bad murderer like the king?
Or there's a picture.
Yeah, there is a picture.
There's a picture? I want to see. And would that like...
I don't know if they rank them like by ace, king, queen, or if they just randomly assign different...
No. To me it looks like... So I'm looking at like the three of spades.
They're usually the victim because they don't know who did it.
I'm looking at like the three of spades here, and it has the victim.
Yeah.
Instead of the...
Because they're unsolved crimes.
So they don't know who the perpetrator is.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Interesting.
They don't know who committed the crime. They just know the victims or like someone who was murdered or something that had happened.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they might get more information from prisoners about unsolved crimes.
Do you have to read more?
Yeah, there's still more. But one question I have about this is if one case is solved, does that mean they'll stop giving away the cards?
Yeah, I guess they'd have to redo the deck, huh?
Yeah, they'd have to come out with a new deck.
I mean, they're already coming out with new
decks. I guess they would. They could still have the cards. You're probably not going to solve all 52 of them, but... but if most of them got solved, you could come up with a new deck.
Get a replacement three of spades if you solve that one.
Yeah.
Florence said other states, including Florida, Colorado, Connecticut, and South Carolina, have similar programs that have led to solving about 40 unsolved homicides. It's less than I expected.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah. That's really good.
Interesting story. So... William, do you want to tell us your story?
Okay. It says, heaviest is best. Pumpkin sets world record at California contest.
So the heaviest pumpkin, is it like in the world or in the United States or just at this contest?
I'm guessing California contest.
It
says the winner, big pumpkin.
Oh, wait, no. It says the winner of the world championship.
It is the world championship.
Pumpkin
Weigh-Off
had the heaviest pumpkin recorded in the history of the San Francisco Bay Area competition. That's confusing. It said world and then San Francisco Bay.
I think that's where it takes place.
Yeah.
It's in San Francisco Bay Area.
It said it registered 2,363 pounds or 1,070 kilograms and was grown by Joel Holland. Oh, I can't talk. Joel Holland. the giant pumpkin earned the Summer Washington Man Prize money of $7 per pound.
Which we worked out. We did the math.
$7 per pound would be confusing for people in Europe.
$7 per pound, and if it's...
$7 per pound, then...
Over 2,000 pounds, it ends up being how much, Will?
$16,541.
That's a lot of pumpkin.
Yeah. So it's a pumpkin that weighs over a ton.
That's so crazy. There's a picture, and there's...
It's a pretty ugly-looking pumpkin, I gotta say.
I want to see the picture.
You would never carve it into a jack-o'-lantern.
It looks like Jabba the Hutt.
It looks like a Jabba the Hutt pumpkin.
Here, Henry, look. It
looks overweight.
I kind of...
Which I guess is what they were going for.
It's not like a perfectly round orange pumpkin. It's like one of those kind of weird-looking ones, and sometimes they actually sell for more money in the store, I've noticed. They look kind of...
It's like a decorative board.
No, there's like these pumpkins. They almost kind of look, I don't know, like Cinderella coaches, like from the old Cinderella books, not Disney.
I wonder if you could eat it or if it just would be so disgusting.
I bet it would be like tough.
Seems like it'd be tough.
But maybe not.
Okay.
What do you think,
William? The person standing next to it.
That would be a really big pie.
The person standing next to it is like 3 times smaller than the pumpkin.
Yeah, and he's this full-grown man looking just really excited about his pumpkin.
Yeah.
But he's tiny next to the pumpkin. Anyway.
Any other details, William?
Nope.
That was pretty much it. It's a big pumpkin.
Giant pumpkin. That is huge.
That's crazy big. We need to put the picture on.
How many people would it take to lift that pumpkin, you think?
At least 10 John Cena's.
At least 10...
I'm almost thinking you would need to slide something underneath and like pull it like a sleigh or something. Like,
I don't know, 2,000 pounds, so yeah.
2,563 pounds, so
2,563
That would round up to 3,000.
Mom has a pumpkin story.
Well, I have a seasonal story.
I have a seasonal story, sorry. Did I ruin it?
Maybe. So... This is from the Washington Post from October 6th. A school was evacuated over a strange odor. Students at a Baltimore high school had gotten a whiff of something weird. During class, students at Cristo Rey Jesuit High School started to smell a strange odor. Some of them began to cough and have trouble breathing, so they were evacuated from the building and the fire department was called to investigate. Emergency medical technicians evaluated several staff members and students. 5 people were sent to the hospital. They said just as a precautionary measure. And at first, some thought the smell was from a burned-out light bulb. It was a smell they certainly weren't used to, said the principal. It appeared to be getting stronger. As it turned out, the strange odor was coming from... I feel like we need a drum roll. Drum roll. The odor that had everyone worried and had people like coughing and having trouble breathing and evacuated and hospitalized was a pumpkin spice air freshener.
Oh my gosh.
Seriously, it was a pumpkin spice air freshener. I don't know. Maybe it was a really bad one, but it was like the kind that like the puffs out odor like every so often.
It couldn't have been that good if people were that concerned about it. But it also seems like a little bit of mass hysteria. Like,
why did people stop breathing?
Well, they didn't stop breathing. They just were coughing.
It just felt like they couldn't breathe really well and they wanted to go to the hospital.
I think they just wanted to get out of class.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Evacuate the school.
Yeah, so they evacuated it. They identified the source of the smell as a pumpkin spice air freshener. And the fire department actually sent a hazmat team to test to make sure there were no like hazardous materials involved, but the readings throughout the high school were negative for hazardous materials. So, whew.
So it was calamity just a bad avoided. Air freshener?
Apparently a really bad air freshener.
So boys, oh, man. Maybe that's what you need to do is like when you have a test, just bring a pumpkin spice air freshener.
A really obnoxious air freshener.
Hide it in the class.
Or you should just bring
just wait for
spray.
People to panic.
And then just kind of cough a little bit like, what's that smell?
No. I got an idea. Tie a rubber band around an Axe spray bottle and then throw it to the teacher and then you can just walk out.
Well, if it was an Axe spray bottle, it would just smell like normal middle school.
Yeah, then it would smell like middle school.
That would not be...
Except it'd smell way worse.
It would smell just like a normal middle school. Sorry, it's true.
More it just locker smells rooms, like
clouds
times 10.
Clouds of Axe body spray and other smells happening.
There's like two people in my PE class, only like two that like Axe body spray.
Do they spray it around the locker room?
They spray it on themselves, and yeah, sometimes other people, which is kind of annoying.
And then you end up going through like a cloud of Axe body spray.
Yes, but no one ever calls the fire department
for Axe
and sends a hazmat team for Axe body spray because everybody knows what that smell is.
I wonder if there's pumpkin spice flavor Axe body spray.
Yeah, it's probably that. It was probably flavor.
Scented.
Well, I don't know. What do you call it?
Scented.
Scented.
How about pumpkin flavor Axe body spray in your mouth?
I feel like we should market this as like a Talk to Dad exclusive body spray, pumpkin spice Axe.
No. Talk to Dad exclusive pumpkin spice body spray Axe and complimentary song dubstep remix now available on iTunes.
Ooh, yes, it's a package.
That'd be awesome.
Yes, it would. Okay. So, yeah, everyone survived. The school was evacuated, but it all worked out. No one died from the pumpkin spice air freshener.
Maybe someone put that in there during a test.
That's a seasonal hazard, though, I would think. That's not going to happen in May.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'd be more concerned if you smelled it in the springtime.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm just surprised that nobody thought, isn't that just the smell of an air freshener? Maybe it was a really bad air freshener, though.
There
must have been some issue with it. I don't know. Very strange.
That is funny.
Quick.
All right, let's
do
some quick either or. Oh, yeah, either or. Okay, I've got some either or here. I want to know, William, Henry, Mom, if you want to participate. I want to know your thoughts. Everyone knows how this is played, right?
And we'll explain everyone
knows. In case we have any new listeners, but basically I name two things. You tell me which one you think is the right thing, and I tell you if you're correct or wrong. All right,
and
our first either
his
or.
Judgment is bad.
No, Dad is always right about this. That's how the game is played.
But I thought first either no or. Right answer.
Is lasagna or spaghetti and meatballs?
Lasagna. Lasagna is just spaghetti and meatballs, but more.
Spaghetti and
Plus,
meatballs.
Plus, it's not like you can't have lasagna without the meatball part.
I'm going to say spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay. William says spaghetti and meatballs.
I feel
Henry
like I know
says
what you're
lasagna.
Say.
Is Mom going to weigh in on this one?
I think lasagna because there are different varieties of it that you could do.
And
I think,
plus, if you
let's
take
discuss
away
it after we figure it out.
I think lasagna.
All right. Mom and Henry. William.
Okay,
spaghetti
it's a close
meatballs
one.
Spaghetti and meatballs is delicious. Okay. It is a close one. I'll give you that. It is definitely a close one. Spaghetti and meatballs can be very delicious. Lasagna is just like a whole other level because it's layered and it's got the cheese in between it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what I think?
Yeah, it does have a nice texture.
And
you
the
can't
cheese
really
and the different kinds of cheese.
You can't really
put some
have
vegetables in there if you want to. It's just
do
really
pesto
good.
Without
layer.
The meat, spaghetti and meatballs is just boring. But if you take away the meat from lasagna, no one even know.
Yeah.
Now, there can be really delicious spaghetti and meatballs, though. So
that's true.
I do agree it's
a
close
make
one,
a good
but
homemade
lasagna
meatball.
Is the correct answer. All right, next one. And this one may seem a little outdated to you kids, but magazine or newspaper?
Neither. They're both outdated.
Now, there used to be something called the newspaper and a mm-hmm. magazine, and they were different.
Wait. I
What's
studied
a newspaper?
For years. No, not in years. Decades.
Okay. I have strong opinions.
I'm only 11, so I don't know. But for the 11 years of my life, and I've gone way back to the time when the dinosaurs were alive, and I figured out what both are.
Okay, basically, newspapers were replaced by news articles online, and magazines have been replaced by clickbait.
So magazine or newspaper, which one's the right answer?
Magazine.
I feel like I know which one you're going to say.
Can I weigh in?
It's newspaper because it has a comic section.
Don't try to predict what we're going to say. Just give the answer.
We already know.
I have a strong opinion. So what were you going to say?
Henry says magazine.
Said
William says
newspaper.
And I say magazine.
All right. William, I'm sorry. magazine was the right answer, Henry.
Same results as last time.
And the reason is, so newspapers are daily. You get sort of your daily news in them. They're important. I'm talking about the old
news
thing.
Yeah.
But magazines, the reason I like magazines better is magazines tend to be a little bit more thoughtful. And it's like articles that take a kind of a broader approach. Like maybe it's thinking about something. Yeah, in depth about something. And magazines usually come out like once a week or once a month.
Wait.
And they've got glossy pages.
Yes, and it doesn't... Yeah. The paper's better. So, like, newspapers, if you open up newspapers, it gets on your hands, and yeah. It's really big and kind of unwieldy. Like, that was kind of what always prevented me from really reading the newspaper as much, is because you have to spread it out all over.
I don't know.
And then the ink gets all over everything, and there's not... this makes me sound really, like...
The ink doesn't get like over a light, anything.
Like, I meant a lightweight... It, on newspapers, it does. Yes,
no, it rubs off. Yeah,
it rubs off, and it gets all over.
Okay, maybe it does. I don't know.
It does. But it doesn't if you have a nice magazine, a nice glossy magazine. Also, magazines have nice pictures. They have lots of pictures, and they're colorful.
And when we were kids, this makes us sound really old. But when we were kids, newspapers only had black and white pictures.
Yeah,
and they weren't very good resolution.
No,
I remember like when they blurry. Started having color pictures in newspapers, and I was like, whoa.
It didn't look right.
Like, USA Today was the first newspaper that I was aware of that had color pictures. It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Okay, but the newspapers had, like, the first... I don't know if they were the first ones to image it or to have it in the newspapers. They had the first pictures of when New Horizons flew past Pluto.
Huh.
That's true.
I actually knew that was going to happen.
The other thing about newspapers versus magazines is that if you have a bunch of newspapers, it's kind of a pain to try to, like, either you recycle them immediately, or if you want to keep them, it's a pain because you have to, like, fold them back up, and they never want to fold back the same way. And it's hard to find a place where they fit. Where, like, magazines, you have, like, baskets that are just the right size for magazines, and you can kind of organize them. My dad used to keep all of his issues of Time magazines, and he had them going back to the 60s, and they fit perfectly in these little...
Like cereal boxes, almost.
Wait, back to okay, the but 60s? If you have
they weren't cereal boxes. Oh, you could. I've seen people organize them
wait,
in that. No, he organized them in just normal boxes, but they fit perfectly.
Okay, you guys are probably right about magazines being better than newspapers, but if you have newspapers, you can pretend to not know... You can pretend to be busy.
Now, you can't make a newspaper hat out of it.
You can.
And you can... If you
Which is fun.
If you put a newspaper in front of you, you can pretend to be busy.
You can... Also do that with a magazine.
But although you don't get quite as covered up by the magazine. Also, you don't look like you're as seriously into it because it's a magazine and people assume you're just looking at the pictures, which is true about half the time or more.
All right, next either or. Donald Duck or Daffy Duck?
First, I thought you were going to say Donald Duck or Donald Trump.
I don't like
Donald
either
Duck. Or Daffy Duck. So you know who Daffy Duck is, right?
That's easy, Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck is like... It's a Warner Brothers cartoon, like Bugs Bunny. Donald Duck is obviously, you know, the duck in the
What's
Mickey Daffy? Mouse
cartoons. Basically the same
Disney
characters,
oh,
though.
Oh, yeah.
Except one has a speech impediment. Or do both of them have a speech impediment?
They're
the exact same characters.
No, Daffy Duck doesn't have much of a speech impediment, but they both have anger management issues.
He's got kind of a speech thing.
They're basically the same characters, but I'm going to say Daffy Duck.
It seems like Daffy's a little smarter than... Donald, but they both seriously have like temper control issues.
Okay. Rage issues.
I know. Yeah. Howard the Duck.
No. Just no.
Donald Duck or Daffy Duck?
Howard the Duck. Okay, no. Sorry, that would be wrong. I'm going to say Daffy Duck.
Yeah, I'm going to agree.
William, Donald Duck or Daffy Duck?
I said Daffy Duck.
We
Even though they're basically the same
correct.
Characters.
Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Daffy Duck
Maybe
is
say
really...
That.
You're right. They both have rage issues. Daffy Duck is a little funnier to me. Mm-hmm. Donald Duck, there's something... He almost seems mean to me. Like, mm-hmm. And I don't find him that funny. And the...
But I mean, they're both mean.
The voice kind of like...
Yeah.
I don't know, that
He seems
voice.
Abusive.
It's kind of rough to listen to.
Yeah, Donald just seems abusive.
Barely tell what they're
to me, like, Daffy seems smarter, and he, like, at least, like, starts out, like, having, like, these plans and stuff in his head, and he's, like, thinking about things, and then he gets mad, like, because Bugs Bunny just, like, messes with him. Like, that's I can kind of understand his rage.
Bugs Bunny is a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
But he's kind of funny, too.
He is kind of funny. Duck season. But I feel like Daffy Duck, like, loses his temper because he just cares too much. I feel like Donald Duck is just nuts.
Also, what's with the sailor outfit? I've never understood that.
Yeah.
And the old Donald Duck, he wore a little sailor outfit. I don't know sailor if he was supposed outfit, to be a sailor.
Yeah.
He still wears one.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Frogs or toads?
Frogs. That's easy.
I like a good fat toad.
Yeah. I feel like I'd go with toads, actually.
Dissection.
You like to dissect them.
Allison and Henry say frogs. Or did I say toads?
Toads.
William says frog.
Okay.
That's easy. Yes.
Frogs are better. Frogs
toads are larger. Poisonous.
They jump farther. Toads are kind of gross looking.
They are, but I still get a kick out of them.
They're like the difference between moths and butterflies.
Yeah, basically.
But I like moths, too. So.
Frogs are cooler looking.
Moths are cool.
All right. And last one. Sour Patch Kids or Sour Patch Watermelon?
Sour Patch Watermelon. Also easy.
I think we did Sour Patch Kids
and Gummy Bears on an either or, but we've never done Sour Watermelon. Patch Kids.
We've done
Gummy
Worms
or
Gummy Bears.
You know, Watermelon.
I wish.
Watermelon.
It's hard to do the watermelon.
It's really good, but you know what? I wish that it came in different fruits. I wish they did like watermelon, Sour Patch Watermelon, Sour Patch Lime.
I was eating.
Wait, let's just add watermelon to the normal ones.
I was eating Sour Patch Watermelons.
But I like that they look like little melons.
I was eating Sour Patch Watermelons while I was reading the Freddy Files,
which is the Freddy's book.
And I was just thinking, man, these are like the best candy ever.
They're pretty good.
William says watermelon. Henry?
Watermelon.
Mom,
I think if I only have one candy, like one piece of candy, then watermelon for sure. But if I have like a whole package, I kind of like the variety, even though the watermelon is like the very best flavor.
It's true.
Henry and William, you're right. Watermelon is better. Mom, I'm sorry.
I said watermelon was the best flavor, but I still like variety.
I don't know that the Sour Patch Kids are different flavors. I think they're all the same flavor.
No, they're not.
Different flavors?
Uh-huh. I thought about that, and I like checked it.
You are thinking of Fruit Loops.
I don't know. I guess I never really noticed the difference between like a green one and a red one and an orange one.
Well, if you eat them one at a time and kind of suck on them, then you notice.
First of all, they have different flavors of Sour Patch Strike Gum.
Yeah.
And Sour Patch Watermelon is just so good.
It is good.
You do get kind of sick after like the end.
After you eat the whole package,
which I realize is my problem and not
That's
the makers of Sour Patch Watermelon. Okay. After you eat the whole thing, you think, oh, I just ate an entire thing of the same candy and I feel gross.
Also, if you eat an entire thing of Sour Patch Kids, your tongue just gets all... I mean, they're good, but...
We have one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right, so I have treats that I brought home from Guatemala. These are not... To be fair, these are not all from Guatemala. I think they're all from Latin America, so they're all from, like, Mexico southward. I have something called banana. Banana-shaped gummy-looking things.
They're banana-shaped bananas.
These are actually from Guatemala.
I know exactly how they taste already. It's weird.
Fruticas. Sortidas. These are from Colombia, it looks like.
It says that on the front.
And then I have something called frack.
On the front. Frack.
Or probably frock.
These are wonderfully named.
What the frack is
that? And they are, exactly.
This is a family podcast.
They are chocolate
I wasn't,
cookies.
It's just like frick.
It says, galletas sabor chocolate con crema sabor chocolate.
Can you tell us what that means?
That means chocolate cookies with chocolate cream.
Although I know this is...
Dad chocolate flavored cookies with chocolate flavored cream.
Okay, Dad doesn't actually speak Spanish.
I know this is slightly...
I speak enough to know what
you
that
speak
is.
Enough to, yes,
galletas
to read the cookie package.
Is cookies, sabor is flavor.
This may...
Chocolate, I don't know what that means. Con crema.
Con crema.
This may be,
and then chocolate again. I don't know what chocolate is.
This may be slightly racist, but I kind of get nervous eating food from third world countries.
That is slightly racist.
That is horrible,
I think,
and you must cut that.
I think these might be delicious.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You can get that.
What should we try first? I think the fruticas are actually just some hard candy, so maybe I'll save that for last. Let's try the banana.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't really...
Ooh, you know what I love? I open this package and I get a whiff of that artificial banana flavor.
Which
that,
I like.
That smells exactly like how I thought flavor. It would smell. It's
very polarizing. Like... Some people hate the artificial banana flavor. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would eat it all day long.
I already know how this is going to taste and it's going to be delicious.
They look just like bananas. They look surprisingly realistic.
They're cute.
I'm going to pass around a little marshmallow banana.
Is it a marshmallow?
Yeah, it's basically marshmallow. And I'm going to mute the mic so we don't chew into the mics. So I got these treats at a convenience store across the street from my hotel. It was like an all-night convenience store, and I just ran in there and grabbed whatever I could find that looked like it might be useful for treat yourself. So the banana didn't taste like I expected it to taste.
Yeah, I expected...
It's a little bit tart.
Yeah, but other than...
I thought it was pretty good, though. I would rate it delicious.
Same. Mm-hmm.
I liked
okay,
it.
Okay, I did kind yeah. of know
I don't
how
like,
it tastes.
I don't like squidgy things like that, but that
so
was good.
So all of you thought it was delicious?
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I thought it was okay. Okay.
It's kind of the same texture as like one of those peach rings, the gummy peach rings.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So it's not totally marshmallow. It's more like a gummy, like the gummy peach rings, which I like. I like chewy stuff. I've got kind of a sweet tooth for chewy stuff.
Okay. I think it's delicious because, okay, I did kind of expect it to taste like that, but slightly less tart.
I like the tart, though. It's kind of fun.
Let's try Frack chocolate cookies. These are from Chile.
Chile?
So these were made in Chile, or Chile is how you say it in Spanish. So I'm going to pass around chocolate cookie to everyone.
Thanks.
All right, what do we think of Frack Clásica?
That was delicious. It kind of reminds me of those, what's the name of those cookies that are like, they're kind of like vanilla flavored, and they're like Oreos, but like vanilla flavor, and they taste kind of different. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Just like the vanilla Oreos?
No, the one with like... They don't really taste like Oreos. They taste kind of like Jammy Dodgers, but with like without actual filling. And
there are a lot
and, like,
of
just vanilla
different
filling.
Types of...
Just and they have holes in them.
Just like there's... a vanilla sandwich cookie.
But like the kind of like... I'm not sure if it's vanilla, but like it has kind of like a strong taste to it.
I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. The taste of the cookie itself... Like I thought the frosting filling was pretty good, but I didn't like the taste of the cookie as much.
They're not very sweet.
But they're almost
they're
a little bit...
They're very chocolatey.
They're almost a little bit salty.
Yeah.
The not cookie itself.
Salty,
I think you're almost a little bit salty.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm going to say it's delicious. It's not as sweet. That's true of a lot of like
I don't mind the
treats
not as sweet.
From other countries. A lot of
it's
times they're not as
delicious.
Sweet.
Delicious.
To me, it's not.
Delicious.
It's not the not
yum,
sweet
yum,
part.
Yum, 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 delicioso.
It's the kind of salty flavored.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a saltiness to it.
I give it delicious,
but not in a way that I like. Really,
so what,
would,
to what, rate
would you, what would you rank it, Allison?
I would say meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
Okay, let's try fruticas. I think these are hard candy, so we're not going to be able to try every flavor. It looks like they come in. Pineapple, green apple, strawberry, and grape.
So can you each try one flavor?
So just try whatever flavor you feel like trying.
Can you toss me a pineapple?
I'll have pineapple.
Here's a pineapple.
Pineapples are the best fruit to exist.
Pineapple is pretty good. I think I'm going to try a strawberry just so we try something else.
Pineapple.
You guys are all going with pineapple. All right, let's mute the mics. All right, so fruticas, hard candies from Colombia. What do you think?
Delicious, although, I don't know, maybe this is just kind of braces, but the texture is kind of weird. Maybe since I have braces, it's just kind of irritating me.
I like when you crunch into it, it's kind of crunchy on the outside, like normal hard candy, but then a little bit chewy and almost crumbly in the center.
Funny note, delicious. On the package it says this in Spanish, but then below it says in English, hard candies can be slippery and cause choking. especially in children. It says especially.
Especially.
Why didn't it mention people with braces?
Because they don't care about people with
especially
braces.
No one cares.
So what did you think about them? You guys tried the pineapple. I tried the strawberry. The strawberry flavor I thought was really good. The texture is a little odd. Right.
The pineapple was really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. You call it delicious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pineapple flavor reminded me of
I'm also gonna
Life
call it delicious.
I rate all yum, of these
yum,
delicious.
Yum, 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 delicioso!
So, Fruticus hard candies. Check them out if you're ever in Colombia or Guatemala or some other place where they sell them. It looks like they are sold, according to the package, in El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, and the Dominican Republic, at least.
Sponsor
us. Manufactured in Colombia. So interesting treats from Central America, and that concludes our treat yourself. It also concludes our podcast. So thank you for participating in the podcast. The last minute coming together so we can get a podcast out this week.
Don't forget to mention Phoebe because she was on for like 5 seconds.
She was on very briefly. Thank you to everyone who listens. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast.
You can send a bird to us.
On Twitter. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Talk to Dad Podcast or at talktodadpodcast.com, our website where you can find all of our episodes. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If there's something you want to do to really help out the show, one thing you can do that doesn't take a lot of time but actually does help is leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That actually helps us get the word out about the podcast, lets other people know about it, and you know, leave us a review, subscribe. Those are things that really help the podcast. So thank you, everyone. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.